Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson.
Hello, everyone. This is David North.
Hi, this is Andy.
Last time you said, hey.
Hey, this is Andy.
Well, I like that better.
Okay.
You got to talk to the young group, too.
Okay.
They always do that hey thing.
All right.
Anyway, we'd like to invite you to come let us reason together through the Bible, and we're suggesting that you go to our website, or if you're older like I am and are not so versed in the web and how it works and so on, have a friend of yours that's young, grandkid, whatever. You know, grandkids are great to have around. They'll help you do things, sometimes more than your kids. No, I'm just teasing you. Anyway, I got great kids. Anyway, have them print these scriptures off for you, and also the examples. We've drawn some pictures, and we tried to make this somewhat similar to our teaching in the home, how we'd use a whiteboard and draw pictures that would help people visualize what the Bible is saying. We'd make lists on those boards and so on. We've tried to do the same on the website to make it as close as we could to doing a Bible teaching in the house. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and we are in Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Is that right, Andy?
That's correct.
And we've been following a trail of evidence. We've looked at just reading a verse, how much we can understand that way. Well, we found out we couldn't see too much. And then we decided we needed to read the whole context. And also we had to learn to combine mate scriptures. Then we also found out that we need to look at things from beginning to end. We need to follow the whole trail of evidence. And so we are in Matthew 25. We're in number 10, where the trail divides. If you can find us there on the website, print that off, print the whole thing off, and you can go through these podcasts. You can back up on the website and catch this from beginning. And I think the beginning one was the mystery of the Bible, number one, the Bible mystery, the Bible puzzle, and the full puzzle piece, mate scriptures, the big picture, a bigger picture, even bigger picture, and then where the trail divides and so on. So come join us, get your Bible, and Andy's in Matthew 25.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Last time we were talking about the order of what Jesus said here. Says, you were hungry and you gave me food. And we mentioned that that was the word of God giving it to people that needed something. You were giving them the word of God, not what you thought. And I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And the Holy Spirit is talked about as being living water. And so you would give people this living water to them to drink. And I was a stranger and you took me in. And people that are out alone in the world, you invite them into the home of God and to be with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Not a church building, But God's true household. Into God's family.
It says, I was naked and you clothed me. And we talked about that, just like the priest, they would have to take off their clothes and they would have to put on righteous clothes and they would have to wash. And those were the points you made on that. I was naked and you clothed me. And like Christians may never feel like they have a clean conscience.
They still call themselves sinners, and God actually does not call us sinners anymore. He doesn't say we do not sin, but we are not bound to sin.
Or practice.
We are not mark missers. We start hitting the mark with God. We grow up in Him and start maturing in Him. We're not sinners.
And then it says, I was sick and you visited me. And many, many times Jesus would heal people of sicknesses by touching them, laying His hands on them. He would heal them. And this is before they really started following Him. They just came up to Him to get something on the outside taken care of, not anything on the inside. This was more a physical issue that could be wrong with them, or a spirit issue, like an unclean spirit. Many times He healed people this way.
So He could cleanse the heart.
He would cleanse the heart of
demon possession, or cleanse the soul from demon vexation or oppression.
And the woman came up and she had had this issue of blood for many years, and He said that Satan has held her under bondage.
And so she could get a spirit of infirmity cleansed in her flesh.
Yes. And so Jesus opened up the subject there that Satan, he actually has power to do things to people, to make them sick, and to deal with that. And He opened up that statement right there that He held them not just sick, but held them in bondage. So that's an interesting word. He said, held them in bondage. And then so the very last one here, I was in prison and you came to me. So people can be in a prison, and it's not a prison like it has locks and doors like that, but it's a prison. Well, I'll just read a scripture here.
But it's a prison that has locks and doors.
But it is a prison all the same. Yes.
But different locks and different doors, right, Andy?
Exactly.
But it's the same. There is a door, like the gate of Hades will not prevail against God's kingdom.
Yes.
And Jesus has the key to Hades.
He says He has the keys to death and Hades.
And death and Hades in His hand. And they will not prevail against God's kingdom, but there is a gate, and there are keys to that also, and keys to the kingdom of God.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, Gilbert, to layer those two things together, that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of the heavens, but Jesus has the keys to death and Hades. So if we really follow Him, we have both sets of keys. We can get them out, and we can get them in.
Or available.
Available, yes. Right.
Jesus has the keys to death and Hades.
Right.
But Peter, a man, was given the keys to the kingdom of God. That's Matthew 16. I wanted to back you up just a little bit about clothing. Can you imagine getting all your clothing all dry cleaned and pressed and all nice, and your body's all dirty and you didn't shave, your hair's not combed, and you put those nice clean clothing on your body, your dirty body?
You wouldn't feel right.
So that shows the body has to be cleansed too. And so anyway, the person is washed and clothed. I don't want to hold on that too long, but.
No, I'll just read this one part in the scriptures, and the listeners can read this for themselves. It's in Matthew 12 and starts in 22. It says, then one was brought to Him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him so that the blind and mute man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he does not gather with me scatters abroad. It shows here that the strong man in this context here is talking about Satan, and that his house has to be entered into and the goods plundered out of it. People are locked in there, and they have to be brought out of that prison. And the way that they're brought out, it says, is by the Spirit of God that does this.
Now, I know another story. I think it's in Acts chapter 8, where they were cast into prison. Paul and Barnabas were cast into prison, and the prison was locked. And this is the story about the Philippian jailer. And even though he had the keys, the Philippian jailer had the keys to man-made prison, he was actually in prison himself. You know, everybody that works in a prison is what? Even the workers in the prison are what?
In the prison.
Prisoners.
They're in the prison. They're behind. They
well,
can't,
sort of, yeah.
Well, a prison guard cannot just walk in and out of a prison on his own volition, can he? He's under lock and key, too. He has to go through the right procedures to get in and get out. He's got to go through the different checkpoints, right?
Sure.
So
security.
Mm-hmm. So he's still in that same prison building with the others. It is interesting to note in that story that we were in prison and he set us free. Who really was in prison here? Was it Paul and Barnabas that were in shackles in prison in a locked cell? Or was it everybody else that was a prisoner there? And Paul and Barnabas, even the prison couldn't hold them. So it was turned around backwards. I don't know if we should read that now. What do you think?
That was in Acts chapter 16, not in Acts chapter 8.
Acts chapter 8 times 2.
8 times 2. We want to do that.
How do I get out of that one, Andy?
I don't. I just found it for you.
Thank you.
Did you want me to read that story?
No, I just talked about it.
Okay,
I just brought it up to...
Oh, okay. It's a good point, though.
Would you read it?
Sure.
Thanks. Andy and I like to give each other a bad time.
You want me to start at the beginning of the story?
But Andy deserves it.
Oh, my goodness. Acts chapter 16. And it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour.
So Paul was operating in the flesh there, and a little bit of lust of the flesh got him into jail, right? I mean, that can happen to believers.
Wow, that was interesting.
He got annoyed. But anyway, it was going to serve a purpose. There's a higher power working here. So
it was. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas.
You know, it's interesting, throughout the scriptures, Jesus never, ever once took a misstep. His walk was perfect on the earth. He was the Lamb without spot or blemish. But the Bible is very careful to show every man's faults. Even though a man will bear the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't mean that a man still does not fight his faults, that he will still have hidden faults. It says, cleanse me, O Lord, from hidden faults, and keep me back from presumptuous sin. This is Psalms 19. Then I will be innocent of the great transgression. It shows you the three progressions of sin in the flesh and the soul, and then, God forbid, in the spirit and the blasphemy of the spirit. But every man has faults, so we do not worship a man. We run into great trouble when we worship a man. But Jesus, God is very clear to show that he is the Lamb without spot nor blemish. So Paul got annoyed. They got thrown into prison, but he was still a mighty man of God like Moses. He was so amazing. There was only one time it really showed where he erred with God. And it was so great with God that God forbade him to go into the promised land. Here's the most humble man on the earth, but he got pushed by God's people for 40 years. The poor guy, I mean,
he was under a lot of pressure.
For goodness sake. Oh my. I mean, far better than any of us ever. And so I won't pick on him. You know, my lips are closed. Paul, again, is a mighty man of God. I'm not going to pick on him for that one fault, but God is clear to show us that we do have faults. So he ends up in prison. But again, this is by design, because this is the beginning of the Philippian church. We'll find it later in to the church of Philippi. God lets us in on the very beginnings. Here are all these people in prison, including the jailer and all the prisoners. They're all in prison. And so how many doors were opened and shackles were undone?
Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed.
It shook that prison down to the very foundation. When Jesus died on the cross, he shook the foundation of the prison where Satan has held people all these years. So this is a magnificent story that goes beyond men's prison, but it sets prisoners free. And everyone on the earth has been a prisoner.
And they don't know they're a prisoner.
Yeah. After a while, they kind of get used to their prison. This is a nice prison. I've got it. It's a 50 by 100 foot prison. But I have a nice house here in this prison called my life.
And you know, Gil, people don't think of it this way, but they're held in prison, in Satan's prison. And then they're held in prison by their own actions that they can't stop doing.
They could be prisoners of their own thoughts, their own lives, their circumstances. Certainly, maybe a country they're living in holds them prisoner. Maybe some action in the past has made them a prisoner.
And ultimately, we want to be free to do God's will.
And in this story, it says that they were put in the inner prison. So there was a prison and then an inner prison, and then they had their feet in stocks, and they were in chains. Wow.
It didn't sound like one that had a window.
No, it's a multiple-layered prison here.
Now, I have a portion of scripture I'd like to share real quickly in regards to being a prisoner, and this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read 24 through 26. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. What we are interested in doing is bringing people unto repentance that they may escape the snare of the devil and being held captive to do his will so that they can be free to do God's will.
So we were hungry, and the sheep on the right are going to feed people. They'll give them the Bible. If they're thirsty, they'll give them drink. They make sure the Holy Spirit is in their lives. They have the authority through God to make sure the man receives the Holy Spirit by following the guidelines in the scriptures. If they were naked, they get washed and are clothed. And if they're, what's the next one?
Sick.
Sick, and they are visited, right?
Yes.
It's visited. So laying on of hands can be done, not just touching through the TV screen.
That's right.
And then if they are in prison, that they are visited.
They go to them.
They go to them. And the ultimate result is that they are free. Well, it says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You cannot enslave a person that knows the Bible. And it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So here again, that they know the Bible and that they have the Spirit in their lives. We're going to go on to when the trail divides next. We could get started in that. And that is found in Matthew 7:7. That's 11. When did the trail divide on Gilbert and Friends? Again, make a copy of it. Go to Gilbert and Friends. Come, let us reason together. And make a copy on the left-hand side. There's a long list of teachings, but down at the bottom, about 5 or 6 or 7 items up will be number 11. When did the trail divide? And this is Matthew 7:7, and Jesus was telling them, isn't it interesting the numbers there? Matthew 7:7. And Jesus told them to ask, and it shall be given, seek, and they shall find, knock, and a door will be opened unto you. And in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, it tells us what to ask for, the good way. Remember, the trail is divided. We want to know the good way. And in the good path, remember, is a path of light, and fruit is born in the light, not in darkness. We're children of light. We're not in darkness and the children of disobedience. We covered that. And it says, ask and it will be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and a door will be opened to you. So we need to ask, what is the way? Ask for the good way. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We're children of disobedience. We're not going to walk in your way, God. Oh my goodness. This Bible verse says that there is a good way as well as many different ways. So when did this road divide? What happened? And when did the road divide? Well, did you know back in Genesis 11:6-9, if somebody wants to read that real quickly, it says the whole earth used to be of one language, and then the language divided. And in the new heaven and new earth, I believe we're going to be one language again. And during this time, there used to be only one nation, one language. And from here, the nations also divided after Noah's flood. Genesis 11:6-9. We're going to back this up even back to Adam. We know there's a good way. We know there's fruit there. We know there's light there. We know that there are people concerned for other people. They're feeding the hungry. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They're making sure the Holy Spirit is in their lives, and they're clothing them. If they committed sin, they make sure they're forgiven and they don't have any guilt anymore. Through the blood of Jesus, even the memory of sin is forgiven. Did you know that? Next time we get together, we're going to find out where this trail divided and when all the troubles began, where we now have to choose the good way and walk in it. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth and to the good way.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.